Welcome, everyone. I'm Barbara Rossing, one of the summer teaching staff coordinators, and this week's program is great. We have leading our principal session every day, Marty Haugen and Dan Erlander. The theme book for this summer is Dan Erlander's book, Manna and Mercy, and he's leading us through the studies in here, the Wilderness School Experience. You should have heard at orientation that this is available at a special half price for you as work campers and staff of $4 in the bookstore, and I really encourage you to get one of these. Dan has been pastor at Holden, director of the Resource Center at Holden. He is a graduate of Augustana Seminary in Rock Island, which is now part of the Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago, where I teach. We're thrilled to have him as a graduate. He also has an honorary doctorate from Trinity Seminary in Columbus, Ohio. And you'll get his teaching today, but what you won't see is his pictures. That's what you see by getting the book, is these wonderful cartoon pictures of the wilderness people. And it's not to be missed. What a treat. Welcome, Dan Erlander.
I hear Christopher said that you should wear these when you work. So welcome. I wanted to say something about this doctor's degree that Barb mentioned, that I usually kind of forget about it, except about once a month my wife calls me Dr. Dan, the Bible man. So welcome, and I think there are many new people here. Last week we went through the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, and this week we go through the New Testament. And how many are new? If the rest of you would be patient, I have like about a 7-minute review of the entire week for last week. So here I go, fast. First, we learned that the slaves in Egypt cried out to God, and God delivered them. And then by their crossing the Red Sea, God brought them to the wilderness, and the crossing was really the birth of the people Israel. And then we went on that, like a parent, you ask, what shall I do with this child? And the reality was that they left Egypt with an Egypt mind. And therefore, there was 40 years in the wilderness, so gradually they would learn a new way that a society would live together that was different than the Egypt way. Do you get that? Okay. Then, so in the wilderness, I like to call it the wilderness school, whereby the pouring out of abundant manna and how the people share it, they learn how people can live together. Enough for everyone, and then no one has too much, no one has too little. Very un-Egypt. Then in the wilderness school, they learn all of these ways that this society, when it becomes landed, will never become a society of the very rich and powerful, and then the very powerless and the poor. We learned how they entered and conquered the land, and then early Israel, before the kings, did live in a relative equality, but their neighbors harassed them so much that they finally decided they needed a king like the other nations. And God and Samuel didn't want them to have a king, because only God was their king, but God and Samuel lost. And so they had a king. And then the fears of a king came true under Solomon, and they did become like other nations, with the elites, the powerful and the rich, and then the widows, the orphans and the poor, who were crushed, plus many other problems, like Solomon discovered consumerism and even had baboons. That's the one thing we learned, didn't we?
Yeah, you knew that, I didn't know.
Yeah, but Marty learned there are baboons in the Bible. Okay. Or maybe, we're not sure the translation, it could be peacocks. Why, when I'm so pressed for time, am I going over this?
I'm not bored.
Okay. Then the kingdom divided into north and south, and with exceptions, this was a time of much idolatry, and the injustice and the crushing of the poor continued, plus stupid political decisions, until finally the Babylonians, angry at the king of Judah, swept over the land, ruined the city of Jerusalem, tore down the temple, massacred people, and some of those who were left, some were left behind, others were taken on the 1,000-mile Trail of Tears to Babylon, where they lived in exile under the Babylonians. When the Persians came to power, they let the people go home. And then there was a hope that again there would be a manna society, as they learned in the wilderness. But this is what we shared on Saturday, how first under Greek rule that followed the Persian rule, one of the kings was the worst persecutor of Jews until the time of Adolf Hitler. And it was 150 years after that when Jesus was born, now under Roman rule, and we called the birth of Jesus God's surprise. Now, I'd like to share what is a misconception often, that there's a big, big difference between the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament. And that is that the Old Testament is a God of judgment and the New Testament is a God of grace. And the Old Testament is a very angry God, and the New Testament is a kind God. Has anyone ever heard this idea? And the way it continues in our culture, would you take these? That I found in New Yorker magazine, June 10, 2002, and this man has just died, and you can't see this, but... But he's coming up through the clouds to meet Peter, who has a little desk, you know, for it. And Peter says to him, "Bad timing, he's in one of his Old Testament moods today." But what I want to show is how the dream of the manna in the wilderness and the mercy that goes all through the Old Testament, now it continues in the New Testament. It's one book, it's one God, as the Old Testament says, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Now, if you would keep your books open to page 9 and way at the end, I have dry mouth. Way at the end, we will be singing as Marty taught us. I want to say words about the world of Jesus. Because often in Sunday school pictures of Jesus, it looks like a placid world with rosy-cheeked children, with happy parents, and the children are sitting on the lap of Jesus and there are beautiful flowers and trees. So let me remind you now that at the time of the birth of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, this was a land crushed under Roman oppression and rule. It was a land where Greek culture was making inroads on the people of the faith of Israel, Greek culture and Greek religion. It was a time of massive social and economic upheaval, where the Roman taxation system, with the collaboration with the priestly elites in Jerusalem, was causing such high taxation that it was driving the poor off of their land, some into debtor's prison, but most into either day labor or tenant farming, where there was only enough money to barely feed the family. It was a time, therefore, of a great gap between rich and poor, the Jewish collaborators with the Romans who gained wealth, and the people that are crushed more and more. Besides that, it was a time of a Judaism of purity, where there were strict rules that made a division between those who were worthy and those who were unworthy. So many were assigned to the category of sinner or bad person. And the way a good person would let a bad person, so-called, know that they were unacceptable was to deny them table fellowship. It was also a time, because of all this, of great anger among the common people, and many were forming themselves into guerrilla bands to attack the rich and to also dream of this time when they would overthrow the Romans. And there were also many messianic expectations and preachers, and so these were not normal times. And during these times of pain in the land, the time of, as we said last week, from the manna hoarding caused rot and stink, this is now a society that is rotting. And into this society, but out in the wilderness, down by the Jordan River, there's a wild preacher. And the wild preacher, John the Baptist, thinks, where there's a wilderness, there's a school. Okay, you want to memorize that? Okay, that will be on the final. Where there's a wilderness, there's a school. And John calls on them to repent and to be baptized and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And they cry, "What shall we do?" Oh, does a teacher love to hear that? Or, "I preached for 32 years, and once a person came up and said, 'Then what shall I do?'" And my mind was, "Oh, I didn't expect anybody to take this. You know what I mean?" So, that was my one altar call. But they cried to John, "Now, what shall we do?" And right there with that question, John the Baptist sets up the wilderness school. And he cries out, "Okay, you with two coats, give one to someone who has none." And he cries out to the food hoarders, "Do the same with the food." And he cries out to the soldiers who can take advantage of others, "Stop robbing." It's a call to a new and a restored wilderness society. And they go into the water, and going into that water and coming out of that water is like going across the Red Sea again. John says, folks, it's time that we all begin again. It's a call to go through the sea and be born again. And then Jesus comes and goes into the water. His baptism is a mark of his identity and his ministry. And then he goes into the wilderness, 40 days into the desert. And there he meets a leading teacher in the Messiah Success School, who is conducting a special seminar for people who would like to be a Messiah. And the teacher tells Jesus how he can succeed by the ways of human power and human glory. Jesus chooses the way of the suffering servant in the book of Isaiah. From there, he goes to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. And there he gives his inaugural address for his years of ministry. And it's from Isaiah, that I come to bring good news to the poor, liberty to captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, and the year of God's favor, which means jubilee. I come to bring that 50th year when everyone receives their land back if they have lost it. I come to bring the wilderness life again.
Jesus journeyed home, came to Nazareth one day, entered on the Sabbath to the synagogue to pray. There he took the scroll, unrolled it, and proclaimed, "The Spirit of God is upon me. God has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. God has anointed me to comfort those who mourn. Let the trumpet sound, proclaim the jubilee. The Spirit of God is upon me." Healing for the broken, sight for all who long to see. On the day of justice, God will set the captives free. A year of favor from the God of liberty. The Spirit of God is upon me. God has anointed me to bring news to the poor. God has anointed me to comfort those who mourn. Let the trumpet sound, proclaim the jubilee. The Spirit of God is upon me. Every eye was fixed on him. The room was hushed and still. Jesus said, "I come to bring the rain that God has willed. On this very day, this reading is fulfilled, for the Spirit of God is upon me. God has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. God has anointed me to comfort those who mourn. Let the trumpet sound, proclaim the jubilee. The Spirit of God is upon me."
In that synagogue, Jesus is saying, "I'm here to restore the way of the wilderness school, the Sabbath year, the Jubilee." In the synagogue, most are from the poor, and they are very excited about this message, until Jesus announces that it will include the Gentiles. And then, remember, they try to throw him over a cliff. But then, empowered by the Spirit, Jesus goes forth preaching the good news of a restored society, of manna sharing and mercy and forgiveness and healing. And he goes from town to town, healing and casting out demons, teaching, forgiving, storytelling, eating and eating and eating, and then meal sharing, and then meal hospitality, and then receiving meal hospitality, and then eating and eating some more, until they called him a glutton and a drunkard. But he portrays the reign of God by the way he eats. He portrays in the way that he shares food what his stories are all about. For society is neatly defined by who is worthy and who is not, who is in and who is out. He heals the unworthy, often on the Sabbath, forgives the unworthy. But the hardest for crabby people to bear, he eats with the unworthy. He gathers a community of disciples to rebuild with them ancient Israel, where only God is the ruler and all are equal. And by his sharing of food, he restores the manna wilderness society. But he makes one mistake. He eats with the wrong people. Feeding of the 5,000, a manna wilderness event where again the manna overflows and all worthy and unworthy share in the abundance. He calls the rich to release from their hoarded manna. He invites the rich to call the poor and the lame and the maimed and the blind to their meals, to receive their hospitality. And Jesus receives the hospitality of the peasant poor. And when he teaches his disciples how to pray, he teaches them to pray about bread sharing and about canceling debts. I sometimes think that Jesus set up potlucks and had all of his followers bring a hot dish, and then he would send them out to the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame. And these meals of joy beyond description, that we who were considered worthless have been given the greatest honor by this man called Jesus. To have been told your entire life that you are worthless, and to have this abundant grace poured out upon you. Gospel, this is good news. The powers, the big deals, the religious leaders are deeply disturbed. They represent something that has been part of religion through the ages, and that has included me at times, and this is the crabby people. The crabby people who would like to be doorkeepers for God's grace. Crabby people that feel the sinners are being treated with too much kindness. And they realize he's a dangerous threat to the way things are. And so he sets his face to go to Jerusalem to confront the powers. And on the way, he goes through Jericho. And going through Jericho with crowds on either side, he looks up into a tree. And we're going to sing it together. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior went that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus said, if I have robbed, I'll pay them four times back. I'll give away one half my wealth to anyone who lacks. And Jesus said, the reign of God has entered here this day. I came to seek and save the lost and guide them on the way. Should I tell them? Okay, Marty put that together at 6 minutes after 10.
It's not Mozart.
It's not Mozart, but no, we're working on it. But I wanted to add this verse because in our Sunday schools, we've always taught the story of Zacchaeus and left out the ending. Let's see. Well, Zacchaeus goes to the house of Jesus after being called down. And notice Jesus doesn't say, Zacchaeus, if you'll promise to shape up just a little to get a start, I'll go to your house. No, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house to stay all day. And the crabby people hear that. That means food sharing. And that means accepting a person just as they are. He is going to the house of a sinner, a collaborator with the Romans, a head tax farmer, a manor hoarder, an exploiter of the poor, one who is very, very rich by cheating. And Jesus is going there to eat. I'm going to your house, the home of a sinner. And Zacchaeus is so overcome by this grace, by this unconditional love and mercy, that he stands up from the table. I'm making this standing up, that isn't in the text, but if he didn't, he should have. He stands up and just says, I can't wait to start a manna wilderness distribution program. And he starts his own. He is converted to the way that God taught the people in the wilderness in those 40 years and gives one half of his wealth to the poor and promises, if I have cheated anyone, and then everybody's eyeballs would roll, I will restore it fourfold. And then Jesus says to this unworthy sinner who would no longer be called a son of Abraham and Sarah, today salvation. The original meaning of the word salvation was spacious, liberated, having all the space without threat, spacious liberation. So someone asks, are you saved? Just answer, I am baptized and spacious. Today, salvation has come to this house, for he, Zacchaeus, is also a son of Abraham. And the big deal say, what if this catches on? What if this catches on? If this catches on, there will be plenty of bread, and there will be plenty of bread for all.
Justice,
plenty to share.
our suffering. Life for all God's people.
From Jericho, Jesus goes to Jerusalem. Charlie Mays is a pastor here in Washington who I think has studied the Bible more than any parish pastor I've known. And I remember his telling me once, the reason the Zacchaeus story in Luke is just before Jesus goes to Jerusalem to suffer and die is to tell us why Jesus goes there to die. And Charlie said, it's to create a Zacchaeus world. Now, as you go in peace, I asked Barb just before, I didn't get one of those cinnamon rolls before, so I asked her if she'd bring me one that I could eat after, and she brought way too many. She brought three. So if anyone would like to share, just come on up, and then now go with this blessing. Friends in Christ, go to work.